It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Monday, everybody out there. You have overtime on your airwaves, clocking in right now at 6:02. A little 2 minutes behind schedule, but hey, better late than never. Better late than never. I'm your host, Tanner Carson. I'm tag teaming it today. My tag team partner going over to the ropes, tagging them in right now as I speak. Rick Butler. How we doing, man?
Hey, you know, it's another Monday. I'm a little tired, I'll be honest with you. Stayed up late last night watching Hell in a Cell. Watching the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, and your Cowboys.
Right, it was a good night. I got a Jets pizza and everything.
Ooh.
But I'm also recovering a little bit from a little bit of a cold last week over the weekend.
I can tell you still got some roughness.
I know. So I'm getting there, though.
Has it passed? You're like no longer contagious, right?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, it's what I referred to earlier as the recovery phase.
I got you.
Right,
okay.
You still kind of have a sore throat.
Yeah.
You know,
still sucking down the halls.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying to hydrate. Hydration is important.
Yeah, pretty much.
Need your fluids when you got the cold. Man, it's coming. It's
yeah, it is.
It's still technically summer.
It's not fun either.
But, I mean, it's going to be here. I mean, I know, Russell had a cold last week or 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah, he had to take a day. He
took some time off.
It's especially important for us in here, you know, because we're all, like I took 2 days last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I was really only sick for one day, but I was like, I can't be speaking on the microphones like this.
Oh yeah,
it's nasty.
Yeah, don't want to risk contagion.
No, not at all.
Spreading that around. But glad that you are getting better. But oh man, that just makes me think. I have to make sure to get my flu shot earlier this time last year. I mean, I didn't get the flu last year, but they do recommend, hey, get it at the start of October. It takes 2 weeks for that stuff to like really work.
Do you get the flu shot every year?
I do get the flu shot every year. I've got it since I was a kid. I just do it. Because it hasn't failed me yet, so knock on wood.
There you go. I've not gotten the flu shot since I came to college.
I know some people don't get it, and I mean, that's fine and everything. I understand it's not 100% perfect, and I understand that the flu changes every year, and what's the best guess? Like, it's about, 60% effective, something like that? So, I mean, it's not foolproof, it's not a guaranteed protection, but like I said, hasn't failed me yet.
Yeah.
Rather be safe than sorry. Gonna go ahead and do it.
Fair enough.
And do it because yeah, man, we talked about the cold. It'd be flu season. That's the one thing you don't want.
Ugh.
I mean, we all get the common cold, but the flu, that's something you want to avoid. Because one of us got the flu, yeah, we'd be out of here the entire week.
All right, I'm not a doctor or anything, right?
I'm not either. I play one on TV.
There you go. Look, I'm not even remotely close to one. Okay, not even a fraction. I don't even like going to the doctor's office.
I don't like it either.
However, maybe this is like an idiotic statement beyond belief. But
go for it.
It's 2018.
Yes.
Medicine has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like the common house cold is something that we should have figured out by now. There should be maybe a cure. All right, maybe a faster method. I just feel like the house cold, among the list of potential, what's the word I'm looking for? Of the potential cases, you know, you could come down with, I feel like is at the bottom, you know, of the most severe, of the most complex. I just feel like it's 2018. Why have we not solved just a cold yet?
That's a question I might Google here in a second. But in my non-medical opinion, I'm going to say that with it being 2018, you got to think medicine being around for a long time. It's really been the really recent human history that medicine has been advanced like it is, and we're still got a lot of stuff to figure out.
Okay, that's
but
fair.
We're better Makes than we sense. Were back in the, I mean, just as recent as the early 1900s, just a little over 100 years ago. You'd have the flu or something terrible like that, and you'd have some condition like you could have like some STD or something, like your doctor say, go down to your local soda fountain and get a Coca-Cola. It's a magic elixir.
No. Just go sleep it off. Go take a nap.
No. Like, that's why the life expectancy used to be so low back then.
Right.
It's because We're probably advancing now. You have people dying from the cold. It could have happened back then. So I'm glad at least we've gotten to the point where if it happens, hey, it's a few days, take some medicine, you know, hydrate, get your fluids in, stay in bed for a day or whatever, and you're going to be done with it in no time. That's a good question. Why hasn't it been eradicated?
And, you know, maybe my pea-sized brain just does not have the knowledge for it yet. However, I feel like we should have solved it by now.
I'm going to Google this.
Okay.
Okay. This was a Business Insider article from 2014, so a few years ago, but still pretty recent.
Wow, this is interesting now.
Still pretty recent.
Okay, talk to me.
Let me try to get by this real quick. It's wanting me to turn my ad block off.
Hold on.
Let me do it. Don't run on this page.
I will fill time. Best wishes to our good friend Daniel Brackman, who's also
absolutely
under the weather right
now. He's ill, not the cold. He's got the strep throat.
Oh!
Yeah.
Hey, DB, we love you.
That's why he's not here. That's why he's not here. He's got the strep throat.
I saw him at my intramurals game last week.
Really?
Yeah. Played right next to each other.
Oh, how about that? Do you know if he did good or not?
I don't know, but at halftime, they were in a defensive 0-0 battle.
Oh, wow.
Not good.
Yeah, some old school football right there.
Boring intramurals. Okay, hit me with it.
Okay, so the lead to this is interesting, too, because this is what I was thinking while you were talking about the cold. Modern science has eradicated smallpox, extended life expectancy, and made huge gains in battling some of the world's deadliest diseases. So why can't we knock out
an idiot.
Not just smallpox, but think about polio.
Yeah.
A cure for polio. Yeah, a cure for a bunch of stuff.
So at least people share this thought with me. Like, it's not stupid.
Here's a short answer. It says it's twofold. First, what we think of a cold is actually caused by many different viruses. Even the most common among those, the rhinovirus, has more than 100 different strains.
Whoa.
Quote, curing a cold would actually mean eradicating a long list of respiratory viruses that happen to cause similar symptoms.
You're telling me there's a virus called the rhinovirus?
Yes.
Well, if that's not the coolest thing I've ever heard, I'm going to quit the show now.
Those symptoms, incidentally, are mostly just your immune system kicking into high gear to fight off an infection, something that can manifest as inflammation in the throat and congestion in the nose.
Well, I feel like... what
you're feeling is just your immune system.
And I feel like that's what allergies is, right? Allergies is just your body's natural way of thinking that it needs to flush out whatever's in your system.
And real quick here for the short answer, because I don't want to get into the whole science stuff. We ain't got time for that. We had a football game Saturday. We still get to talk about.
Yeah, it's on
so
the
here's
tees.
The second part.
Okay.
While sniffling and coughing is no fun, a cold is pretty low down on the list of ailments that need curing.
Well, one may disagree.
It can be a concern for infants, the elderly, or those with pre-existing respiratory conditions. But, quote, for the majority of us, a common cold is more annoyance than threat, says Ian McKay, who is a...
Wow.
I've never heard this term before. He is a virologist. Virologist. Studies viruses.
Okay.
From the University of Queensland, so I assume in Australia.
Wow.
So that's a good point right there. I mean,
yeah, he does. It really is just
more
of a nuisance.
They suck, but it's not AIDS. It's not cancer. It's not a bunch of stuff.
I guess in the big picture, I mean, I would rather them continue working on cancer.
I saw this
than the house cold.
I saw this video last night talked about predicting things for 2019. Did you know there's a? I don't want to get too into this because it's. I don't want to talk about STDs alone here. But did you know there's a new strain of super gonorrhea? That may be incurable.
Oh, no.
May be incurable,
incurable.
To antibiotics because it's developed this resistance to all the strong antibiotics.
That freaks me out. Like, that's absolutely horrifying that it can just evolve like that.
I think I know we haven't talked about the apocalypse on this show recently, but Rick, anytime I've talked about it in the past, and someone would ask, "What's my prediction for the world ending?" I ain't going to say that it's going to be an asteroid. It's not going to be something from the book of Revelations. Do you know what I've told people I think is going to end up causing the end of humanity?
I don't know, but could it be the rhinovirus?
Not rhinovirus, but like a super bacteria that like you just can't stop.
Oh, that's not a bad get. See, that's just terrifying.
Because it can happen. Because it can
that
happen.
These diseases and bacteria can just manifest themselves into something that humans just don't even understand. Scary
stuff. But yeah, now you learned today that there's the rhinovirus, and you also learned about a virologist.
Look, I'm really into this whole rhinovirus thing. That is the coolest name mankind has ever come up with.
So I'm glad you learned something today. I'm very happy that you learned something. Before we hit this break here, yeah, we will talk about sports on the other side.
Yeah.
I promise, no more, we got carried away talking about the cold there. No more rhinoviruses, no more talking about super gonorrhea,
oof,
anything like that. I promise, Tennessee gets the win Saturday 24-0 over the University of Tejas at El Paso Miners. See? Used to be Texas Western, gets to win 24-0. Early thoughts real quick, Rick, before we go to the break. Just if you can describe that game in a few words.
It was really boring. We ran the ball 50 times. We threw the ball 16 times. Now that defense looked well for, again, playing UTEP. I think there's some more stuff that you can get into. I think boring isn't really a criticism. It was more just part of the nature of the beast that is playing a team like UTEP. I thought there were some bright spots. I think there are some worrying some places. But overall, it was good enough to carry me into this week. I'm still feeling uneasy about the Florida game. But if I really did have to sum it up in a word, it was a boring game, you know?
For my quick description here of what I thought about the game, and I tweeted it too. So while the game was going on, I was actually at a wedding Saturday. I did not get to watch the game live. I was at a wedding. I was a groomsman. One of my best friends got married. I was up in old Kentucky. Kentucky for that one.
Yeah.
Whitley County, Kentucky. Take with that what you will.
Interesting.
But about the game, I mean, I kept up with it, though. I was actually glad to be at a wedding instead of watching that game live.
Yeah, my parents were in town for it, and we sat through almost the entire thing. I mean, it was
pretty bad.
Something else.
It's pretty bad, but hey, a win is a win.
Yeah.
It could be worse. It could be a lot worse. Arkansas got blown out home by North Texas.
Ugh.
44-17.
Woo!
That happened.
Just dismantled their football program.
Florida State still looks like a dumpster fire in the first year of Willie Taggart. Got beat 30-7 in the Carrier Dome by Syracuse. Wisconsin lost at home to BYU, so their playoff hopes might be over.
Did Nebraska win? They were losing. Yeah.
That's the other thing I thought about. Nebraska lost at home to Troy.
Whoa. When Troy gave us a run for our money in the Tyler Bray era. Sorry.
I remember hoping that Troy won that game. I was like rooting for them to win so they could fire fire Derek Dooley. But yeah, Nebraska lost at home to Troy. Now, hey, it's not like Troy's exactly a pushover. They did beat LSU.
Yeah.
In Death Valley last year. But like I said, for as much complaints as we have right now, it could be worse. It could be worse.
It could.
It may get worse over to like the next month or so before we go into this stretch of games. But as of right now, it could be bad. It could be a lot worse than 2-1.
Yeah, I think there were enough bright spots to make me feel all right about the game this week. And I still don't think we're a good football team by any means, but enough bright spots, enough things to carry me forward. But we'll get into that later this show.
We will. Taking our first break of the show, open up the McKinney team hotline for you all, 865-546-8200 to get on the program. Quick break, be back on the other side. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. Two-man Wolfpack tonight. But hey, we're making it work, Rick.
Yeah, we're doing what we got
to
do.
Starting to look like Wolves, by the way. I'm growing my beard back out.
I've noticed.
And you've had the beard for a while. Whatever happened to your mustache? When did you stop doing that?
Oh, I'll bring it back. It's going to come back soon.
Man, are you going to do Movember, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. So, but that's what I might do. I might start with a mustache because you got to start with a base layer. You know?
You do.
Maybe I'll just go. I'll go just mustache. Maybe stubble around the sides, then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I've done like the clean shave and like slash stubble thing for like the last month or two, but then it just a couple people like noticed like when we do video, they'd say, "Yeah, you look a little older with your facial hair."
I'm always a proponent of the beard.
So I said, yeah, I'm going to grow it back out. And plus, it's starting to get cold anyway. Eventually. Got to bring it out, man. Got to get the lumberjack look.
You do.
Got to get that lumberjack look. 865-546-8200. Jump over now to the McKinney Team Hotline. Talk to T-Carp. T-Carp, how's it going, man?
It's going good, my friend. Brother, if it grows on your face, there's a reason it grows on your face like that. You're a man. Let it grow. Be what God intended you to be.
Words of encouragement. Hey, there's been a lot of great men in history who've had beards, T-Carp.
That's right.
A lot of great men in history.
I mean, this whole shaving thing, I mean, this is just in the past couple hundred years. But men have beards.
They do.
6,000 years of human history, we've had beards.
Yeah, you know the guys who don't have beards, you want to know why? They can't grow them.
That's right. That is right, sir. Anywho, guys, I wanted to touch on, you know, a lot of us Negaball fans, this dreary blah, blah, blah fans, have been getting a bad rap by some callers, especially a caller named Matt last show. You know, I don't know what they want me to be. Do they want me to be rainbows and butterflies and sunshines about a 4-win Tennessee team at best right now? I'm not happy about it.
T-Carp, some people will call you and others and, like, me, myself, negative. I say that we're grounded in reality.
Like, I got a little sheepy. I'll give you that. I got sheepy at the beginning of the season because I thought that our offensive line was going to be much better than what it is. I did. I thought Brandon Kennedy was going to come in and be a good center, and I thought our guards were going to be manageable, but by God, you know, ETSU's are, you know, you know, when we can't with ETSU's quarter, I'm like,
I think we lost T-Carp.
Hello?
Oh, there. Are you there?
Nope, different caller.
Oh, Rick? What just happened, Rick? Okay.
His beard got in the way.
Yeah. T-Carp, please call back.
T-Carp, call back. I guess we're just going to roll this since you're on. What's your name, man?
This is Roberto.
Oh, okay. I thought you sound familiar. Oh, what's up, Roberto?
I defy you bearded ones to come make fun of me for not having a beard to my face.
I'm not about to make fun of clean-shaven people, Roberto. That was T-Carp. He was just giving me and Rick encouragement for growing the facial hair back out. I do believe the last time you saw me, I might have been clean-shaven. It's getting fall, man. I just want to grow it back out.
you guys can wear whatever molesting type beards you want to wear.
Hey, I got a full beard, no patchy. I don't have a lot of like manly man features about me, but damn it, I can grow a beard, so I'm gonna do it.
I'll tell you what, I'm only in that category when I go mustache.
Yeah, Rick does have like a windowless van mustache if I've ever seen one. No offense, Rick.
I'll take it.
I've got like the French. You get like the French facial hair. Have you ever seen this? Where it's like a thing where they don't have a filled in gap between their mustache and their beard, so you have like a gap, right?
Yes.
So I've taken to when I grow it out in the winter, I've taken to growing a handlebar mustache.
See, that's I like that. Okay. Now I have a gap between the two sides of my mustache, like right in the middle. It's kind of weird.
I do see that. Yeah,
I mean a little bit.
You want to do the handlebar, Rick?
No, I can't.
You can't.
Okay. I can't personally.
Okay.
Well. You guys were talking about Tennessee and the running game, the offensive line. Well, guys, it's not good. But have you guys actually watched Florida play football this year?
The most
I've... I don't think they could stop me and Tanner lead blocking for Rick right now. They are horrible against the run.
Yeah, the most I've seen them was that game against Kentucky, and Benny Snell did run all over them. And Benny Snell's a great running back. But, I mean, yeah. For as much problems as Tennessee has on the offensive line, Florida's probably just as bad on their defensive line.
They didn't have C.C. Jefferson that game, and I got to give them that. But they also had Wilson, Michael Wilson, who helped in the run a lot for them. who is now out. And did you guys see where Malik Davis got hurt today?
Yeah, broken foot.
So basically, and they lost their third string running back, right? Already?
Yeah, transferred. So
now they're down to their first stringer and their third or fourth stringer. Is that right?
I do believe so.
Guys, this is going to be an old-fashioned Tennessee-Florida game, and not the Steve Spurrier era, but though technically he even did this well, which was you got to win the running game. Whoever wins the yardage in the running game is going to win the game. And I believe Tennessee has a shot to do that now. One thing we're not talking about is how far Alexis Johnson has come. I haven't heard one person say it. He is a totally different player. He wouldn't have seen the field last year, and they've done something with him. I mean, he's serviceable. Like, he's a good player. And I never thought he was going to see the field after his first year and a half here. I really didn't. So I'm glad to see that. I think we'll be able to stop the run pretty well, because I think we're okay against the run defensively. I'm glad we came in healthy. Nobody's really talking about how that's truly unbelievable, that Tennessee all of a sudden being the most, going from the last, what, 2.5 years, 3 years, being the most injury-ridden team in America to becoming a team that we've lost one player for the season, and that was to a freak injury. And I don't mean to say this, but I'm not sure he was even the best player at his own position, though Ryan Johnson's not doing much better at center than Kennedy was. But you see where I'm going here, guys? Like, I feel like we've come into this the freshest and healthiest we're going to be for a long time. And I feel like Tennessee really needs to win this one, because I believe this will be a mar for Dan Mullen, and it's going to do nothing but start his career on a downward path at Florida. And in 3 years, they'll be looking for a new coach, and hopefully we won't be. Take care.
Roberto, I think they'd be ready to run him out of Gainesville. Did he drop?
Yeah, he okay. Said his final statement.
Oh, well, thank you for the phone call, Roberto, even though that we didn't get you on as we planned. That was interesting.
And I think that he talks about the run game, and I think that's absolutely true, and I think that one of those things that is a component of having a good ground game, whoever has the best ground game is going to win, is ball control, right? You have two quarterbacks who are not the most elite in the league, could throw turnovers or bad passes that especially we've seen from Florida's side. You want to control the pace of the game. You want to control the ball. And the run game is a huge part of that. Time of possession.
And people might try to compare the stats between Garantano and Felipe Franks, but I want to tell you right now, Felipe Franks' stats are a little bloated. He did have 5 touchdowns that first game, but who are they playing, Charleston Southern? I don't understand Garantano didn't throw for a bunch of touchdowns against ETSU or whatever, but Garantano, from how he looked last year, at least through the competition we've seen, totally different quarterback. A lot more confidence. From people who have been watching Franks, he's still making some of the same mistakes. He's still having the same type of problems that plagued him all of last year. And, God, apparently, it was a battle between him and Kyle Trask to get that starting job down there. And Kyle Trask was supposed to be good. If he can't beat out Felipe Franks, how much garbage is he? So that's what they're going with now. They're just going with Franks once again. Going up against him and Garantano, like you said, both definitely are not elite. So that comes down to whoever's going to have the best running game, like it was in the past, is going to get that W.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one time, of course, that didn't ring true, remember Tennessee completely dominated Florida in that rushing battle in 2015. But it came down to Florida absolutely had a lot more passing yards in that one.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker. But you're right. You want to be able to control the ball. You want to be able to control the tone and the pace of the game. And in a game like Tennessee-Florida, it's going to be that running game that is going to do that for you.
I'll go back to something Roberto said real quick before we take this break. He did mention, by the way, is T-Carp back on?
Yes.
Okay. T-Carp, hold right there. We are going to get you on the other side because there's a little technical difficulty on our part. You didn't get to say all what you're going to say, so we will let you finish on the other side so we don't rush you here. But before we go to break, he probably got a point about the injuries. Outside Brandon Kennedy, you're a healthy squad. Todd Chandler had to set out ETSU most of that West Virginia game, but he's back.
Yeah, he clearly is.
He didn't miss a step. Averaged, 13-something yards per carry, 158 yards on 12 carries. Had that big breakaway touchdown. Looked excellent.
He looked very fast.
Looked excellent.
There.
You got a deep deep running back stable there to use. And defensive line, it can work on some things, especially pass rush. But I think they're serviceable against what Florida's going to have, especially with two of the running backs that they were going to have on their stable running backs. They're out now. They're out now. You have to worry about some of their talented receivers. But I think the secondary, at least in the last few weeks, they've shown that, hey, might be a little bit better than they looked against West Virginia. And I don't know if that's level of competition coming into account or what. But at least from a depth perspective, you're set well. You're actually set up well versus how Florida's set up with their problems. So you got that going for you. So it'll be on a good game plan, I guess, for the rest of everything to come to fruition. 865-546-8200. Got a lot more of some Florida game talk, some recap of what happened over the weekend in college football. And we'll eventually get into some very interesting stuff that happened in week two of the NFL. Stick with us here. You are listening to Overtime, Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the show here, 865-546-8200. That is the number for the McKinney Team Hotline. I want to tell you real quick about our friends, the McKinney Team, with Keller Williams Realty. Once I find my notes here. Rick, I can't find my notes. This is awkward. No, I found them.
I was going to go back to talking about the rhinovirus.
I was about to do it off the top of my head, but I found it. Travis and Emily McKinney understand that buying or selling a home is a life-changing experience, and that's why they have developed a team of highly seasoned real estate professionals dedicated to providing exceptional personalized services for all of their clients. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams promises to work relentlessly to ensure that their clients achieve their real estate goals. Call them 865-548-8267, or you can visit ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams, proud sponsors of our phone lines here. Let's go back to those phone lines. Finish up T-Carp's call. T-Carp, once again, apologize for those difficulties over here on our part.
Yeah, whoever's working the phones needs to pick up the slack.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah, man. Dude. No, you know, Roberto kind of didn't steal my thunder, but, you know, he's trying to get me to be happy about this. And I am excited about the Florida team and game. And I think we do have some things that line up in our favor. My huge concern is the center, the two guards, and the right tackle. So basically everybody but Trey Smith on that offensive line, I've got huge concerns with. And I know that Florida, you know, has a bad time on their defensive line. But, guys, we couldn't impose our will against ETSU. We couldn't impose our will against UTEP. That's not good. Unless they're hiding something that I don't know about, which hopefully they are, and we'll come out and we'll kick Florida's arse. I think it'll be a close game. It's just I've got some concerns. I've got some red flags. And I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's a bad coach. Now you know how people kind of go off the deep end there and be like, who are you going to get? And by the way, who we thought we wanted looks like they're not doing so hot either. I mean, you go down that list, and my goodness, you know who's actually looking halfway decent that we wanted?
Mike Leach.
Anybody?
Mike Leach 3-0.
Yeah, Mike Leach.
That's it. Chip Kelly's 0-3. Mullen, I mean, 2-1. But I mean, good God, he lost to Kentucky. Who else am I missing? Jeff Brohm, former Tennessee head coach. Jeff Brohm is 0-3 right now up at Purdue.
We took a glance at Chad Morris,
oh,
Arkansas's
God.
Coach,
oh,
who just
God, yeah.
That would have been horrible.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Oh.
So how's the white whale doing?
Hey, I don't want to talk about that, T. Carver.
Oh, is he? Oh, is he? Are you a Raiders fan?
I'm a Raiders fan, T. Carp. No.
Hey, I'll talk about it. He's not doing well.
I know he's not. And he said he had no regrets about trading Khalil Mack. Yeah, you do, you idiot.
You should.
Yeah, you do, Chucky. You spent 10 years learning how to sell Hooters in Corona, and you forgot how to coach a damn football game. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, T. Carp. But, yeah.
And just to point to the fact, I've got a huge fan or buddy of mine that's an LSU fan, and I'm sitting there all offseason making fun of him. And then they go out, and LSU looks like the top five team in the nation.
I know.
They're up to
college football, guys. I just don't understand it. I don't know it. I'm this dude that apparently sounds like an idiot when he calls the radio station, apparently. That's what I am.
T-Carp, Coach O has made us all look like idiots, actually. Like, you aren't the only one that was, trying to laugh at LSU, laugh at Coach O, saying that he'd be the first guy to be fired in this conference. The whole country was saying that, too. They have come out. I mean, they smacked Miami in the mouth 2 weeks ago. Looked good against Southeast Louisiana, whatever cupcake they played in their home opener. Then they go to Jordan-Hare and beat Auburn. They took some shots in the mouth too late in that game, and they looked so unaffected. They've come out, and they're off to this hot start. I don't know how long it's going to stay, but there's no way in hell Coach O is getting fired unless they lose 9 straight to end the season.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. That quarterback, after taking that huge shot on third down, stands up in the pocket on fourth down and throws a strike like he did. That's just a man throw. That's a game-winning throw right there.
For the first time since they had Mettenberger back in 2012, I think LSU has a decent quarterback.
That's very true. And Coach O doesn't have to really recruit too hard. I mean, everybody in Louisiana wants to go to LSU, and that's all a bunch of five stars. I mean, 10, 15 five stars out of LSU probably every year.
Maybe
if you get half of those guys going to your school, hey, you're doing great. So, wouldn't it be nice to have that at Tennessee? 10, 15 five-stars rolling out of Tennessee every year?
It'd be great. T-Carp, a good starting point right now for this staff would just be to getting back to making sure, the top-tier guys in your state didn't leave.
I know. I'm right there with you guys. I'm just concerned about the offensive line. If he loses every game this year, I will be madly upset, but I'm not going to call for the guy's head. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to grin and bear it, and we'll see how it is next year. But you got to win this game. Florida's down, the worst they've ever been probably in a decade. You got to get them. You got to get them now. See y'all.
Thanks for a phone call, T-Carp. Glad we finally got to finish that.
Yeah, great call.
But yeah, I think the whole must-win game is a stupid cliche because I think you should want to have every game be a must-win, especially if you're a coach. I would just think that'd be pretty sound logic to go by there. But this Florida game, if you lose that, I'm no statistician here, but I'm thinking with the next few opponents that you have, there's an 85-90% chance you're staring 2-6 right in the face. You're staring it right in the face, and it's going to take some pretty big upsets to not go 2-6 if you lose this Florida game. And I mean, that'd be an upset. God, I don't know who'd you be most likely upset in this stretch. South Carolina probably, because I don't think you have let's throw Georgia and Alabama out, obviously.
Right.
Those are losses. I don't think you got a really good shot of upsetting Auburn and Jordan-Hare. So you got a big, big, big shot that you will go 2-6 by the start of November if you lose the Florida game. So,
man, you
pretty important. Pretty important.
It's huge. It really is. I mean, I know that we do have those three tough games in the middle there, but that gives you at least some momentum, right? You're at least not looking back at those four games and saying we got swept by all four.
No, yeah. If you go 3-1 into the hell stretch that you're going to go through October, then at least if you lose the rest of those games, hey, you're not sitting at the start of last month of the season saying, hey, we got to go perfect to get to a ball game.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know people around here don't want to talk about the prospect of dropping one to Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri, but hey, at least you can say if we do drop one of those, it's not the end of the season. And oh God. Before we take this break, Rick, I don't know if we're going to beat Vanderbilt or not.
Man,
I don't know if that's going to happen this year, buddy. The way it looks now.
Oof. I don't. Vanderbilt played a very good game against Notre
Dame
on the road.
They should have beat Notre Dame.
Kentucky's quarterback is very good.
Forget.
I'm not.
Forget Terry Wilson.
I'm not giving us a chance against Missouri.
I'm terrified of Benny Snell when it comes to Kentucky. Yeah, that Mizzou offense. Oh, God.
I don't even consider them a toss-up.
Oh, God. Derek Dilley's Mizzou offense.
I know.
Oh, God.
And he's coming here, too. But, yeah, man, I have a pit in my stomach.
Beat Florida, please.
Oh, please.
Just do it. It'd help a lot. Go a long way. 865-546-8200. That's the number for the McKinney Team Hotline going to hit. This next break, be back with the final segment of hour number one and your phone calls on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Final segment of hour number one of Overtime is brought to you by MyBookie. You know, people ask us in this sports radio business for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on each and every week. But hey, we don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you have to check out MyBookie. Now, remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, they are your best bet this season. They have been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. And hey, we would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us. That's why me and the whole crew here at Fan Run Radio are urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. You can use the promo code Knoxville to activate the offer. Activate the offer. Goodness gracious, words are hard. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code Knoxville when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. Real quick before we get to Matt, let's do our best and worst of the weekend. Is someone getting the best?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Real quickly here, run through these. My best of the weekend. I talked about the North Texas Arkansas game. The Mean Green blew out the Razorbacks.
Oh, no, you're going to steal mine.
Sorry.
Ah!
I got to go with that fake fair catch on that punt.
Oh, it was too good.
I'd never seen anything like it. I forgot the dude's name. But straight up, it is what it is. He didn't even, like, you can't fake a fair catch because that'll be a penalty if you take off.
Right.
So all he did, he received it. He has two defenders right next to him. All he does, he gets the ball, and he just starts just casually walking like he did call for a fair catch. So those Arkansas players have been playing football all their life. Their first inclination is, oh, he called for a fair catch, I guess. But you play till you hear the whistle. There was no whistle. So he takes a few steps. When he sees, like, some space, he takes off. Dude took off. Untouched. Touchdown, North Texas. The route was on.
The route was on. And I even think I saw, maybe it was, I believe it was Russell who tweeted it. The best part about that is now when people think of Arkansas special teams plays, they don't think of our debacle.
Yes!
They think of their debacle.
How's it feel, Hogs? How's it feel?
Yeah, take that.
And my worst of the weekend. Now, how about this? For a first time forever, Kansas has two back-to-back victories over FBS opponents. They beat Rutgers. Now, on paper, Kansas-Rutgers is probably the worst game you can think of. But, my God, it's the worst because Rutgers, how do you lose 55-14 to Kansas?
Hey, they're a basketball school.
That's the team that invented college football, and after this performance, they probably ended it.
They ended it for himself. Okay, it's my best and worst of the weekend. You stole my first. That's all right. I'll freely give it to you. Let's see. Well, honestly, my best of the weekend might have been my fantasy football team. Mm. I made the GM trade of the year.
Ooh.
Okay, the guys I traded for, the three guys I brought in accounted for about 65 points. The three guys I sent out accounted for about 20. All six starters, I went from least points scored in my league to most points scored in my league. Utter domination. My worst of the weekend, if you know me, you know where this is coming from. The finish to the Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell match last night. The latest WWE pay-per-view. It was an absolute train wreck. It was the worst. It was so bad, I can't even explain it. I stormed out of my house. I slammed the front door. I said words I should not have said. I screamed those words. I was so upset. It was like I'm getting heated up right now. I'm getting triggered. I'm gonna back down.
Just calm down.
I'm gonna back down.
Let's go to the phones real quickly. McKinney Team Hotline. Get a call from Matt before Rick Butler loses his mind. Matt, what you got for us?
God, man, you're about to make me triggered, man. That's good emotion. I'll be quick, guys. It's funny. I got a weird feeling about this game this weekend. Like it's going to be a blowout. Like we're gonna run all over the Gators, man. And I haven't said that, if you guys know me, in probably 10 years. So I just want to listen. You guys tell me, because we've focused enough, I promise you, on the negative since this season started. So give me five positive things coming out. I'm going to give you guys one, and you guys tell me the positive things we got going for us that could cause us to beat Florida by 21 points. I'll give one, and the first one is we're healthy. We got a freaking healthy team for the first time in a damn decade. Let me know, guys.
Thank you for a phone call, Matt. Well, Rick, let's come up with positive reasons.
Number two.
Okay, we got a good challenge from Matt here. Okay, number two, we have a deep running back stable that's very talented.
Okay, good one. I'll say number three, home field advantage. Neyland Stadium at night. I do think that actually could factor big into the game. We'll see. You know everyone's going to come out rocking. I think that could play into our favor as long as we're keeping the energy up all night.
Next up, okay, I think we have a really, really good core of receivers that's yet to been properly utilized, and I think that we could see some of that against the Gators.
Okay.
Against a banged-up secondary.
Okay, last but not least, to me, I think we need to start doing this better, but I think if we execute it well, I think Trey Smith. I think we got to start running behind Trey Smith more. And I saw that more last game, and I haven't gone back and looked at the game completely. But when we run behind Trey Smith, it's typically better than when we don't.
I'll tell you what's really bad and what's really noticeable. I think we know our strength is running outside the tackles, period.
Yeah.
Whether it's Trey Smith or, God, Chance Hall, whoever they're putting out there at right tackle. Because I know it's like been rotating, right?
I believe it was Drew Richmond.
Carvin.
I think Carvin was on the inside.
Yeah, they're putting Richmond out there. I know they've been like rotating stuff, but regardless, you're doing better doing that. And right before we hit this break, I've seen some of the breakdowns of certain plays. Whenever the offensive line's doing zone blocking and you're trying to like go up the middle, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's just not working, and that can be a fundamental thing that you can work on and progress throughout the season. But right now, and for all intents and purposes of this week, don't do it.
Absolutely. And hey,
don't do it.
You have one of the best offensive tackles, not in the league, in the country.
In the country. Yeah.
Utilize him. Run behind him. It works.
You have to do it. That's going to do it for us for hour number one of the show, 865-546-8200. Hour number two coming at you on the other side.